Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello there, I'm Andrew McDermott. Today I welcome back Paul Nelson, a senior fellow of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture, an adjunct faculty in the Master of Arts program in Science and Religion at Biola University. Nelson is a philosopher of biology who has been involved in the intelligent design debate internationally for 3 decades. Paul, thanks for joining us again.
Again, it's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, we've been chatting together about your recent trip to the Galapagos Islands. It sure sounds like it impressed you greatly and enhanced your appreciation for and understanding of the design of organisms. Charles Darwin's 5-year trip on the HMS Beagle as the ship's naturalist took him to a number of exotic lands, including the Galapagos. It was an unprecedented journey and experience for a scientist of his day. Paul, can you mention one way in which the Galapagos influenced Darwin's thinking?
Well, he did a tremendous amount of collecting of specimens while he was on the Beagle in South America, in the Galapagos, and elsewhere. And when he brought those specimens back to England, and he and John Gould and other naturalists began to classify them and examine them in relation to where they came from, he noticed that the similarity between the Galapagos birds, for instance, and those on the continent of South America was quite striking. There seemed to be a natural connection between the two, which led, of course, to thinking about biogeography. And one of the main lines of evidence for descent with modification by natural causes that Darwin invoked in The Origin of Species was biogeography. That is the distribution of animals and plants around the world that seem to indicate a pattern of natural branching. So in that respect, and in many others, the striking absence of fear that I've already mentioned in both the first 2 sessions of this podcast series, in contrast to what you would observe elsewhere in the world, that requires an explanation, and it really requires an historical explanation that the history of these species differs. Island fauna, not just in the Galapagos, but in other islands around the world, often have few or no predators. So they have behaviors, a lack of fear, a lack of anti-predation flight, or just getting away, right, from someone who's going to eat you. That, again, requires a historical perspective, a historical explanation. And in Darwin's case, this was leading him in the direction of a theory of evolution.
Well, tell us how it challenged you, this visit to the Galapagos.
Well, any student of evolutionary theory, which I have been since my late teens, hears a lot about the Galapagos, right? It's kind of this mythical place where evolution was revealed to Darwin and so forth. I mean, a lot of that history is not very reliable. A whole legend, for instance, has sprung up around the Galapagos finches, which we're still trying to disentangle from what actually happened. But the Galapagos take on this almost mythic character. So when I, as an intelligent design proponent, show up there for myself, I'm going to take a look at these wonderful islands for myself. I've got 2 tracks running in my brain. One is my education in evolutionary theory, going back, gosh, almost 40 years now, versus my perspective, or maybe versus isn't the right word, running side by side with my perspective as an intelligent design thinker. And I'm constantly comparing the two. So someone might say, well, look at this particular species. Doesn't this show evolution, right? And we heard a lot of that on the boat from the naturalists. In fact, one day there was a whole afternoon lecture on Darwin and the role of the Galapagos in Darwin's thinking. And I look at the same data, I look at the same patterns, I look at the same behaviors, and I'm thinking, well, evolution, yes, in a sense, but not evolution in the sense that Darwin meant, which was that history, natural process, was the whole story. So what's missing there, what's missing is what intelligent design provides, which is an explanation for where the finches themselves came from. So all the time, I am bouncing between these 2 ways of thinking about the evidence and challenging myself, you know, do I need to rethink some of my design intuitions in the light of what I'm seeing? And that process is ongoing all the time in the larger community of intelligent design thinkers with respect to how are we going to put this theory together and how are we going to incorporate the best of evolutionary theory, that is, those parts of evolutionary theory that are evidentially well supported, that make sense, that fit with the data, and lay aside the parts of evolutionary theory that have failed, that aren't in accordance with the data. You know, science never goes back. The expanding wavefront of knowledge of science is always sweeping forward. Yes, we have revolutions and changes in thinking, but every new theory, and I like to think of intelligent design in its modern incarnation as very much a new, really in many respects, still a very young idea, incorporates the best of what preceded it. So my view of evolutionary theory with respect to design is we are going to take a great deal of evolutionary theory that is well supported and incorporate that into a larger intelligent design framework. So the Galapagos trip for me was kind of a microcosm of that, sort of a case study in what parts of evolutionary theory do I think work, and how can I incorporate those into my own understanding of intelligent design?
So they're not in competition, intelligent design and evolutionary theory. You just have to marry the two in the right ways and by looking at the data the right way.
Yeah, well, here's how I would put it. And this is a thought experiment that I've suggested to colleagues and to students. Imagine you wake up tomorrow morning and every scientist on Earth, not just every biologist, every scientist on Earth has had something happen to them in the night, and they say, well, of course, intelligent design is true. What could be more obvious? Now, how are you going to teach biology? How are you going to do intelligent design as a theory? How are you going to put that together? Well, what you're not going to do is spend your day attacking evolution, right? That's already behind you. The task is going to be very different. The polemical context that's so familiar to you of debunking this bad evolutionary idea or that bad evolutionary idea, that's over, right? Now you've got to make sense of biology on the basis of intelligent design because everybody already agrees with you. When you think about the problem that way, the kind of confrontational, let's have a fight. Here's my boxing gloves. Here's your boxing gloves. Let's jump in the ring and let the best idea win. That sort of polemical context of intelligent design versus Darwinian evolution that we're so familiar with, that's gone. That's not there anymore. And what I realized, and this really came through to me a couple of years ago, and this trip to the Galapagos sort of reinforced it, is I'm going to take a lot of what I've learned from evolutionary biology and build that into my understanding of design. Why? Because those tools make sense, right? They are congruent with the evidence. There's a lot that evolutionary biology has learned over 160 years of its existence since Darwin that really, I think, when you understand it rightly, only makes sense in a larger intelligent design framework. But it's not going to be the case that we're just going to jettison everything that evolutionary biology has learned. We're going to sift it. And in that sifting process, you save the good stuff and you let the rubbish go into the rubbish bin where it belongs. That's not a view of competition. That's a view of integration, of taking what's reliable and building that into your more comprehensive theory. And when I tell this to colleagues and students, initially there's some hesitation, right? They're very accustomed to the pugnacious punch Darwin in the nose approach. And I want to say, you know what? Darwin got some things right, and that's never going to go away. For instance, organisms do have histories. Those histories matter to how we understand them. You're not going to find that in Paley because it's not there. So take what Darwin got right and build that into your theory of design. And when you, I speak for myself, when I approach the question that way, I find it very fruitful and very filled with promise because it's going to move biology into the 21st century.
That's a great way to look at it. Well, I challenge readers to do the same thing. So you sound optimistic about the future of ID.
Oh, definitely. I so love what I do and this and what biology has been learning. Really, frankly, it's the most exciting science in 2020. I tell students, if you want a science where there's way more data than we know what to do with, and puzzles galore, interesting puzzles everywhere you turn, you can't beat biology. It's really in its golden age. It's as exciting as physics was in the first two decades of the 20th century when relativity theory and quantum theory and these other major changes occurred. We are seeing similar things right now in biology. And I think intelligent design as a comprehensive framework of understanding will really be the only way to approach some of these questions. Now, if someone is married to naturalism, and by the way, I carefully separate philosophical naturalism from evolutionary theory. They're not identical, right? If someone is really married to naturalism, which says, I'm going to explain the origin of the first cell, or I'm going to explain the origin of adaptive complexity via strictly natural causes, come what may, there's nothing I can do for that person, right? They've already made up their mind. But if someone says, you know, I really want to understand the world and I'm greedy for all the best tools available, I'll say, you know what? Design is there. We know it's real. We know it's explanatory. So don't limit your toolkit and come and join us in this grand adventure of understanding the world using all the tools we have at our disposal.
Sounds exciting.
It is.
Well, I'm looking forward to joining you, and I'm sure our listeners are. What can we look forward to seeing from you in the near future? What are you working on? Has this trip inspired any new work?
Well, I'll mention some of it in the companion articles I'm writing for Evolution News and Views, complete with nice pictures that my wife and I took of the amazing critters on those islands. I'm involved in a number of projects. The one that's most relevant to this sort of Galapagos adventure that I had is an attempt to look at living things as design systems where the engineering principles that we know from the things that we make, airplanes and computers and software systems and you name it, that there may be principles that apply in engineering that we can take over into biology to illuminate biological puzzles. And conversely, biology may have insights that we can take back into engineering. So there is a highway connecting those two parts of human endeavor that I think is going to be very fruitful. And some of what I saw in the Galapagos, such as these flightless cormorants that I'm fascinated by, I want to approach the origin of their flightlessness not as a mistake in the sense that a mutation occurred and the cormorants made the best of it, but rather perhaps as an engineered adaptive response to a new environmental circumstance where they didn't need to fly, but they needed to fish, right? So I'm intrigued by that possibility. And of course, I continue my single-minded obsession with orphan genes, which I think is just going to be a gold mine in the future, but that's really a separate topic.
Sure. Well, lots more to discuss in the future, and we look forward to seeing more from you, Paul. And thank you for sharing the enthusiasm that you have for biology in general, but specifically this amazing trip. I felt like I was there and got to see a few things that you saw. So I hope our listeners enjoyed that. It's always a pleasure to chat, Paul. Thanks for joining us.
Have me back anytime.
I will. Well, look for Paul's coverage of his trip to the Galapagos Islands, as well as other topics he's written about, at evolutionnews.org. And anytime you have a spare 15 minutes, catch other episodes at idthefuture.com or through your favorite podcasts app. And you can check out parts 1 and 2 of our conversation there. For ID the Future, I'm Andrew McDermott. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.